Blog Talk Radio.
As I lay me down, heaven hear me now. I'm lost without a cause, after giving it my all. Winter storms have come and darkened my sun. After all that I've been through, who on earth can I turn to? I look to you.
To simply chime in, 619-639-4747. If you're on Facebook, you know you can find me there. There's always, you know, fun things going on there. I'm posting some updates throughout the show. But this show is not about yours truly. It's not about the radio successes. It's not about even sports today. You know, we spend an awful lot of time in our little world doing nothing but talking about the craziness that is the world of sports most of the time. But after going through and seeing what I saw, you know, last Friday and Saturday, and getting a chance to witness to some things. This just seemed to be the right thing to do. I'm very, very fortunate to have the ability, by the good old-fashioned grace of God, to do some of these wonderful things. And it's really, really important that we reach out to everyone who may be going through, maybe experiencing something. Maybe you know someone who's going through a rough time, a rough patch. I want to hear from you. The rest of this week, from noon to 1 o'clock, all week long, this is what we're going to do. 619-639-4747. I've wiped the schedule completely clean from this time to set this aside because it's important. And I know those of you who checked it out yesterday, some of you were a little stunned at the notion that here's this guy who can speak so eloquently about sports, and he goes on and on about, you know, outside the lines and behind the scenes and what happened in this situation, what happened in that situation. We get down to the X and O's and all this. Well, maybe it's time we got down to the X and O's of a very, very serious problem, and that serious problem is domestic violence. It is violence against women. It is violence against children. You know, you're going to hear some things today that may put you back on your edge a little bit, may put you back on your heels a little bit, may surprise you. I need everyone and their brother to kind of just know that this is not about Vincent. This is not about the fastest 60 minutes in sport today. It really is about a time to heal. It's a time to reach out. For a lot of the brothers out there that might be checking this out for the first time, if you're the brother that's put his hands on his woman, it's time to call it quits, man. It's time to come full circle. You know, if she's sitting there and she's put up with you this long, you know, God bless her, because if you stop now and you have a chance to maybe even save that relationship. You know, anyway, yeah, I want to draw some light to it, but I really want to hear from you. 619-639-4747. Those of you that got those nationwide plans, those wonderful, you know, smartphones, you know, it's worth the call. 619-639-4747. There may be someone out there that needs to hear your story, needs to hear what's going on in your world. Maybe they'll get a glimmer of hope. And please understand that you're not alone in this world. If you're going through something in your household, on your job, maybe you're being abused there, wherever it's happening, it simply needs to stop. And if I can be that sounding board today, or any day for that matter, then I need to do that. You know, call it a mission, call it a calling, call it the availability, whatever you want to call it. The reality is it needs to be called in the carpet. Let's get some, you know, maybe some ground rules together. And understanding exactly what exactly we're dealing with as we try to understand the essence of domestic violence. And again, let me put that number out there, 619-639-4747. If you're on your job, maybe all you can do is listen. I understand that. Thank you for checking in. Okay. Physical abuse, sexual abuse, psychological or emotional abuse, and economic abuse. Yeah, economic abuse, yeah, economic coercion. Let's break them down. Let's deal with the physical abuse, because you know, that's always at the forefront in most cases. Any act of violence that is designed to control, hurt, harm, or physically assault a partner. This includes pushing, punching, kicking, grabbing, pulling of hair, choking, slapping, damaging property, valued items, the use of weapons, or refusing to help even a sick partner. And that's, I think that part of it, you know, so those of you texted yesterday, we kind of alluded to that a little bit yesterday. If you've got someone in your home that's under the, you know, that's ill, that needs care, it is abuse if that individual, the partner, the spouse, is refusing to take care or do whatever that need is when it's been ordained or at least established that that was your role. Yet we blow it off because we can. Then there's sexual abuse, any action forcing the partner to perform sexual acts against their will. This includes pursuing sexual activity with a partner that is not fully conscious, uninvited touching, unwanted sexual intercourse, and coercing a partner to have sex without protection against pregnancy or sexually transmitted diseases. You know, we haven't even, you know, touched on the potential problems, you know, with unprotected, you know, coerced intimacy. That's, oh my God, my head starts to spin when I think about that. Psychological or emotional abuse, any action intended to degrade, humiliate, or demean, both in public or private. This includes verbal threats, yelling, intimidation, harassment, criticism, lying, withholding information in isolation from family or friends. Psychological abuse may precede or accompany physical violence as a means of control. And you're going to hear that word a lot, you know, when someone is trying to control you, trying to control a situation. And again, you may know someone. you may be able to reach out to someone that's in that situation right now. Again, 619-639-4747. Please let them know they are not alone in this battle. Psychological or emotional abuse, any action intended to degrade, humiliate, or demean in public or private. Verbal threats, yelling, intimidation, harassment, criticism, lying, all there. Now let's talk about economic abuse. Any action forcing the partner to become dependent on the abuser for money and or survival. This includes withholding money, a car, other resources, sabotaging attempts to make money independently, or controlling all the finances. I don't know that if most of us understand the scope of the problem, but when you hear one in every three women will be abused in some fashion in their lifetime, one in three. This means someone you know is going through this. And certainly while it is possible that you may not be aware, I'm going to ask you to start looking for the signs. You know, I saw an episode of Criminal Minds recently, and I enjoy that show immensely. And there was a guy in there, he was abusing this young lady, and what he did was he took a bunch of household items like soaps and hard things like that, you know, blocks of soap, and he wrapped them up in a nice terry cloth towel, and then decided to hit her with the towel in her torso area. So what you didn't see might have been the outer bruise, but she was bleeding internally at the muscular level, and it was scary. Yet, you know, of course, you know, the CSIs and Criminal Minds, they do a great job of getting into and showing you the depths of these things. But it ultimately, at some point, when that blood rises to that surface, a bruise is going to appear. You don't see it right away. Emotional abuse leaves deep scars, but they're not visible. And some of us have gotten very, very good at putting up the front. That's just what we do. We put that front on because we can. And you don't have to, because you shouldn't be subject to that. There's a whole big spiel on the internet now of what would you do. If you guys ever go to YouTube, check out the what would you do. And a lot of that is situations where you see abuse going on in a public place, right in front of you. And these people are actors. They've been hired to do what they're doing. But the objective is to see if you would respond to the abuse that you're witnessing. Do you have the chutzpah? Do you have the kahunas? For lack of another term, do you have the balls to step into that arena and say, this is wrong? It's not acceptable. And maybe you think, well, you know, that's not my problem. It's not my issue. Yeah, it is. Because that's somebody's daughter. That's somebody's sister, man. Somebody's wife. Somebody's mom. And heaven forbid you know who that is. Now, maybe you're scared. I understand, brothers. Some of us, you know, hey, look, you ain't the biggest cat in the world. I understand. You walk up on somebody 6'8", 300 pounds, abusing his wife, you might want to come up with a different game plan if you stand there at 5'2", 145. But you know you need to do something. And that's what I guess I need to share with you today. You got options. You cannot just do nothing. No longer is that even a remote option. That is not an option. It is not an option for this crew. It's not an option for this function. Certainly not an option for myself. My wife and I have talked in depth the last few days, and I love my wife dearly, and I love my friends dearly, and I would hope that they know if I see anything that even remotely resembles that, here comes the cavalry, because that's something yours truly. I don't play with that. I never have, and I never will. Don't put your hands on my flowers. All right, don't just do not put your hands on my flowers. And every woman in this world, you don't have to like her. You ain't got to, you know, spend time with her. You know, if she said just something bad about your hairdo or something you didn't like, your brother, man, walk away. I pray, walk away. I would rather you come back another day and have that dialogue and another opportunity than to put yourself or your family in that kind of situation. It's just not necessary. You don't need to do that. You really don't. And I wish more of us understood that we just don't need to do that. There's so many better options in this world. And I guess if I need to be one of those sounding boards that brings it to the forefront, then I have no problem doing that. But it's incredibly important that we come together as a people, as a nation, and shed light on this and do something about it. It hurts me to the inner core to know that the people I went to college with, one in three, man, one in three. Yeah, I get messages on Facebook and Twitter all the time. Yeah, I get letters all the time to someone who's going through. And this is a guy who maybe, you know, has been on the forefront in the media for a little while now. He's got a little history. You know, I know a few things, and I've got access to some resources. And I want to help you. And I think that above everything else is where I'm at today. I really need to try to help somebody today. Somebody needs some help. And you know who you are, and maybe you're afraid, and you don't need to be. You don't. You know, the brothers I hung out with this weekend from Atlanta, the Men Stopping Violence organization, much like the Joyful Heart Foundation, you know, the objective is to heal, educate, and empower the survivors, because that's what you are. You're a survivor, maybe of a sexual assault, domestic violence, child abuse. You know, we need to shed light into this darkness that surrounds these issues. And I stand here today on this internet radio, knowing it's being podcasted, knowing it's being recorded, knowing it'll be available to the world literally a minute after this live stream ends. This is for you. This is for you. This is for me. This is, you know, literally healing. If you know someone that needs assistance, call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 800-799-7233. 799-7233. That's an 800 number. And understand, you're not alone. Not alone at all. Yesterday we debuted the Ball and Chain by Bailey, and the response was overwhelming. We want to share it again. So 12:16 for your Wednesday. This is Ball and Chain, courtesy of Bailey. Check this out.
I look in the mirror. I don't recognize this reflection. Thinking back, I got lost in this projection. Slowly reminiscing about the trials and tribulations. Jesus saved me, covered by his blood, I'm now safe. An innocent being turned into a craze. The flesh abused through an obsessed rage. And so I told her, love isn't a mile run. So if there's a run, it's because he's running from you. Love shouldn't be dangerous, hence love didn't exist. You see, you created this illusion. Regardless if the abusing was intense, you gave him the love that made sense to you. Drawn with the ink of eyeliner, cover-ups, illuminating lips. The sway of the hips is what kept him on focus. Nobody noticed the smile made up, the hesitation to wake up. Those nights where the bottle wouldn't leave your hand, he did nothing but hold it higher. For you to drown in the sense of something so disgusting. Didn't care if your lust was just because you were drunken. Didn't care that that cough you had could have been something else. That those Newports would prove that one day, sooner than later, you would die. Didn't care when those shadows laid hands and penetrated you while half past dead. Didn't move a muscle when you cried and wished to die with a knife in your hand so high. Don't want to be here anymore. For 4 years, like a ball and chain tied to a beast. I watched you every single day wake up and want to sleep again. Rather live in the Alice in Wonderland than to breathe the same air as him. The swelling on your face spoke a thousand words. Why'd he hit you and you still wanted to be his girl? Instilling fear that it would hurt like a serenade of a singer. Because manipulation was at its greatest. You see, I'm staring at this reflection, not recognizing this projection. I was susceptible to either side, but the balance was losing grip. Slowly slandering down into the depths of the devil's pit. That alcohol was my hydration. That refill was my motivation. See, when I was in control, I seemed to always stumble. So I gave myself a reason. Get drunk. Get the fool out and blame all the mistakes on you. Kept you from your friends and from your passions. Was like a ball and chain tied behind bars you were held captive. See, in my mind, in order to survive was to make sure that I died. Each sip was a step closer. Each sip made me feel nothing. Numb to the hits that were placed on my face. The tug of war with my hair didn't hurt as much. This body wasn't being cherished. It was getting prepared to be buried because then I felt it was worth none. Seated in the bathroom, hiding from the rage, praying for somebody to save me, holding a knife beside me, lifting up my sleeve, my Bible telling me to cut me. Carved not deep enough was the word love. I wanted to see it because it wasn't around me at all. Fear not, for I am with you. Something inside me told me to no longer be afraid. I knew I could die from my next move, but in my eyes there was nothing more I could lose. Even though I was at my weakest, I felt stronger than ever. I was giving myself away, powered by my Lord, conquering the devil. And so I said, I'm done. It's over. You need to go. Confrontation was in heat, but his grin was cheek to cheek. Smiles and it's okay was on repeat. It took a split second for blood to drip, landing in the arms of a woman whose strength to control. See, in that moment, my mother was empowered by God's strength. This little lady wasn't afraid of this beast who made her daughter bleed. She looked dead in his eyes, and now it felt defeat. So as I'm staring at this reflection, thanking God for this blessing, because even though my teeth need to work and my nose and jaw will never feel the same, I'm thankful for that day. The ball and chain was broken.
Powerful, powerful stuff. Thank you, Bailey. As we move forward, we remember Whitney Houston today as only we can. Check it out.
Whatever you need.
And that's the wrong track, so we'll come back to that in a second.
Power up. We gotta take the power.
Power to the people.
I've got the power.
All your documents, photos, movies, and music at your fingertips all the time. That's the power of the cloud. That's the power of HP WebOS. HP, everybody on.
We'll be right back.
that great Whitney Houston sharing with us. Again, I'm Every Woman Again. It's sad, obviously, at 48 years old, passes away, but left an indelible mark on all of our lives. I want to do something a little different now. We've talked, obviously, a lot about sexual abuse and domestic challenges for women and children. It's amazing when brothers, despite their successes in life, despite their acumen, whatever they, business they've chosen to go into, remember how important the women were in their lives. I want to play for you. We did this during our sports season, but I want to play a little piece of Shannon Sharpe's Hall of Fame message, because he talks about the relationship between him and his grandmother and how that molded him. And I just want you to hear a little bit about how, you know, how she meant so much to him in their relationship. Just check this out.
My big brother Sterling. I'm the only player of 267 men that's walked through this building to my left that can honestly say this. I'm the only pro football player that's in the Hall of Fame, and I'm the second best player in my own family. You're a different hand. There's no question. There's absolutely no question in my mind we would have been the first brothers to be elected to the Hall of Fame. The 44 men and women that I thanked and congratulated early for giving me and bestowing this prestigious honor upon me, all I do is ask. All I can do is ask in the most humblest way I know how, is that the next time you go into that room or you start making a list, look at Sterling Sharpe's accomplishments, a 7-year period, of the guys that's in the Hall of Fame at the receiver position and the guys that have the potential to be in this building. That's all I ask. I don't say, hey, just do that. The next time you go in that room, think about Sterling Sharpe's number for 7 years. That's all I ask. Sterling, you're my hero, my father figure, my role model. You taught me everything I know about sports and a lot about life. I never once lived in your shadows. I embraced it. I think this is where I start to get emotional. My granny. See, the guy that did this bust here, he went to school for that. He's trained to bring clay to life with his hands. It's my turn to bring Mary Porter to life with my voice. It's time for me to give Mary Porter a face. For all those that don't know who she is, it's my turn now. What do you say about a person that gives you everything but life? How do you start to say thank you, Granny, for a woman that raises 9 of her kids and your mom 3, and she sacrificed more for her grands than she did her own? You see, my grandmother was a very simple woman. She didn't want a whole lot. My grandmother wanted to go to church and Sunday school every Sunday. She wanted to be in Bible study every Wednesday. And the other day, she wanted to be in a fishing creek. It was my brother's and I's job to make sure she can do that for the remaining days of her life. The only regret that I have in my 43 years that I never told my grandmother just how much she mean to me. See, my grandmother and grandfather, they raised me, and I hung on everything they say, but they didn't know it. I can tell you every time that my grandmother's ever been upset at me, I can tell you why. My brother never knew that everything he said, that I hung on it. I wanted to be so much like my brother that when I went to college, my brother's first college girlfriend, when I went to college, My first college girlfriend looked exactly like his. And the one story I want to leave you with to tell you why I became this person. When I was 12 years old, I told my mom, I said, Mom, I'm going to have some money one day, and I'm going to buy you a Mercedes, and I did. When I came and I asked my grandmother, I said, Granny, what do you want? She always called me her baby. She never called me by my name. I said, you want me to buy you a car and teach you how to drive? She said, no, son, I don't want that. I said, Granny, do you want jewelry? She said, no, son, I don't want that. She said, son, I want a decent house. And I'm thinking, I said, well, my grandmother wants 7,000-8,000 square feet. But then I knew my grandmother, knowing her like I know her, after pausing for 5 or 6 minutes, I said, Granny, what is a decent home? And I remember it like yesterday, and it was 30-plus years ago. She said, son, I want a decent home. And her words verbatim is, she said, son, I want to go to bed one night. And she said, I want God to let it rain as hard as he possibly can. And I want him to let it rain all night long. And she said, I want to wake up and not be wet. That's a decent home for my grandmother. That's all she wanted. See, for 66 years, my grandmother never went to bed and had it rain and not be wet the next morning. See, I remember those days of putting the plastic coats on the bed. And I'm going to date myself to croaker sacks, but now we call them burlap bags. I remember that. I remember putting the pots and pans on the floor to catch the rainwater, the very pots and pans that we're going to cook in the next day. I remember that. It broke my heart that my grandmother, all she wanted, she got two grandboys that's making $1 million, and she wanted a house that wouldn't leak. That's all she wanted. That's all my grandmother wanted. For two boys that's making millions, and all you want is a decent house, you want to go to bed and not get wet when you wake up. That's what drove Shannon. That's what got me here. See, my grandmother...
Powerful stuff from the man, Shannon Sharp, on his Hall of Fame, reflecting on the relationship between him and his grandmother. As we touch on so many different levels of understanding the breadth of the violence against women, we often tend to forget just the significant role so many women have played in all of our lives, whether it was your mom, sister, cousin, your teacher, counselor. They're just important flowers in this world, and we just need to hold them up and reverence them accordingly. I want to give you the scope of this problem with this domestic violence as a worldwide epidemic. And there's no other way to address it other than that. Again, for those of you, 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. If you have comments, if you have thoughts, feel free to call in. I'm literally just going to sit here and watch this switchboard in hopes that we get a young lady out there who just needs to know that she's not alone in this battle. And again, whether it's Men Stopping Violence out of Atlanta or Joyful Heart Foundation, you know, whatever your thrust is, you know, again, the National Domestic Violence Hotline number is 800-799-7233. Again, 800-799-7233. And I don't mind standing on this soapbox and telling you that you're not alone. I don't mind being the brother out here that stands in the gap and will get between two people who appear to be having that altercation. I know so many of you feel like, hey, man, that's not my business. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. You know, if you step between some youngsters, I mean, I've spent time at some of our local high schools here in the Chicago market just to see the way the young men interact with some of the young ladies. It has so many of these young ladies now, especially those of color. And when I say of color, I mean a broad spectrum of color, have somehow accepted whatever that definition that's been thrown out by this young man as just what they are, whatever that might be, and it's just okay. And then somehow they've accepted that as an okay definition of who they are. You know, our values are under extreme attack, in case you haven't noticed. Again, 619-639-4747. I want to shed a light on some of the number ones in this. Battering is the number one cause of injuries of women. more common as a source of injury than rapes, muggings, and automobile accidents combined. Although it is difficult to obtain accurate stats concerning the incidence of domestic violence, it is estimated that at least 3 million to 4 million women are beaten by their husbands or partners on an annual basis. A woman is more likely to be assaulted, injured, raped, or killed by a male partner than by any other type of assailant. About half of all marital relationships involve some form of domestic violence. Of males that beat their wives or partners, 47% do so 3 or more times in a year. More than a half the female homicide victims in this country are killed by their male partners. In Massachusetts alone, a battered woman is killed once every 9 days. Seriously? Once every 9 days in Massachusetts. Now, I'm not going to get all political on you and start bashing Mitt Romney. I'm not going to do that. But I am going to shed a light on this. We're going to shed a light on who's at risk. Women between ages of 19 to 29 are at greater risk. This age group reports. The reports just show that more violence is done against those by an intimate partner than any other age group. Separated or divorced women were 14 times more likely than married women to report having been a victim of domestic violence. It is, however, possible in some situations that a separation or divorce directly resulted from such violence. guys. See, and I know it's easy. I've been married for 16 years. It's 12:37 on the 15th of February. I have no problem sharing this with you. 16 years of marriage. I've never raised a hand to my wife, Leona. Never called her out of her name. And I'm proud to say those things. But I'm not perfect. I've made some mistakes, and I humbly submit to you, I am not perfect. And I appreciate all the love I get on Facebook and Twitter. For those of you who barely know me, you may know the voice, you may know, maybe went to school together, maybe went to college together, and I love you guys, and as you know, there's nothing you can do about the love that I have for you. But I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. And every single day, I strive to be the better man, to make the good decisions, to be an example for my boys. You know, my mom, and I got grown kids, and I still think it's significantly important to be that role model. I want them to see how we interact. I want them to see the love that we share and that we show day in, day out. When there's a bump or bruise in the road of our relationship, I want them to see how we resolve it together without the need for violence, without the need for push or shove, slap, punch, none of that. Yeah, and I told Leona some time ago that if she was ever compelled to raise a hand to me, just to let me know, because that's the time when we need to be need some serious space. There's a brother inside of me that remembers what it was like to be 17, 18 years old, thinking you had to be hard, thinking you had to be, you know, tough, thinking you had to deal with some things, you had to handle some things. And then when hip-hop began to explode around the scene and it was all about sex and violence, and I remember some of the tracks from DMX talking about laying in a casket with the, you know, looking at the ceiling with the hole in your chest. I remember these things. And all this stuff was, you know, unfortunately poured into the spirit, poured into the mind, poured into the soul of an individual. And you were somehow led to believe that this was a reflection of hard. This was a reflection of what it was to be tough or to be a man. You know, Kirk Franklin often talks about his battles with pornography. Yeah, and when we talk about the effect of pornography as it relates to domestic violence, it is absolutely critical that you understand that when you share, and I'll set this up for you, and I know someone may play this back and their children may be in the room. I'm going to keep this thing as clean as I possibly can, but I need you to understand something. The effects of pornography, it is nothing more than a coercive a tactic that men use to try to get what they see on that screen to happen in their own personal life. I need you to do it like she did it. I want you to do this like she did. I want you to do what I see on this television show. Now, understand something. If you're coercing or you're applying, you know, control tactics to get something in return, you're abusing someone. Now, don't get this thing twisted. I know there's all that fine little lake that runs between being kind and someone being, you know, kind in return, that show of reciprocity. That's different. A conscious effort to do something kind is great. A coercive effort is different. You went out there with a manipulative plan to do harm, to control, you're abusing. But if you went out there to do a consciously kind thing with asking nothing in return, you're straight. You're absolutely straight. You know, Valentine's Day, you know, was yesterday. And I know my wife is a big-time fan of popcorn. She loves her cheese popcorn, especially when it's fresh from our friends at Let's Get Poppin'. By the way, you guys may want to buy some airtime on this show. Hint, hint, hint. Anyway, that's her favorite spot, even more so than Garrett's, the world-famous Garrett's in downtown Chicago. She loves Let's Get Poppin'. So I know that's one of my stops every year at Valentine's Day. And she alluded to me that it would really be great that, you know, since a lot of our jewelry was lost in a fire we had a couple of years ago, that she started to get some of the jewelry back. And whether it was an ankle bracelet or a charm or something, you know, that would just be a nice thing. So she dropped that in my hearing, and I was very, very fortunate to make that happen for her. And you set all the stuff up, and so when she comes in that night, actually the night before Valentine's Day, you know, she sees all the stuff, you know, on the bed. It's all hers. And there's nothing asked in return. There's no assumption on my part that this is going to lead anything beyond just hopefully a smile from her. And you know what? For maybe the first time, because it was so fresh in my mind, it was a conscious effort to make sure that this was not about me. This was not about us. This was just somebody doing something kind for someone they love. That's it. And I would hope that my brothers that can hear this do just that. Do something kind for someone you love today. You claim you love your wife. Show her. Don't make her frustrated. Don't put her through a bunch of changes. Greet her with peace and love. When you get off work today and you go home, maybe she's there, maybe she'll get there maybe a little later, depending on your situation. But when you greet her, take that 10 seconds that they now remind us that is important to kiss. Show her the love she deserves. The problems you have in terms of your bills or your children, guess what? They're going to be there. They're going to be there. There's absolutely no reason, none whatsoever, that you need to raise your voice, raise your hand, push, shove, none of that. None of that is necessary. What is required is that you reverence that gift of God known as that significant other in your life. Now, obviously, I can't ban you as many times a lot of us in radio tend to do. We love to tell you I'm banning someone from the show because, you know, they're a bad seed or a bad person. I don't believe anyone that checks this show out is a bad person. I don't. I believe you care enough to want to get some information. I believe you care enough. Maybe I'm entertaining to you. Maybe I made you laugh somewhere along the line. Maybe I've done the belly joke. Maybe I've done something that entertained you, whether it was the sports world or otherwise. And yep, here come more personal phone calls. But it's really absolutely incredible to me that so many of you care enough to check out what we're talking about, check out what we're doing. Yet you go home to your variety of different circumstances and situations, and you haven't changed. I don't want to hear that your wife got pushed, shoved, or punched. And I don't want the excuse of I ran into the door or, you know, or the dog or whatever excuses. You know what's going on in your home. Come on, man. And which reminds me, I do have to reach out to ESPN's Chris Carter because I would love to get his take on this as well. I love his come on segment with sports, but I would love to get his perspective on, because he, you know, that's a brother that's been through some things in his life as well. So Chris Carter, if you're checking me out via Twitter or Facebook, you know, I'm looking for you, man. I want your input. Again, 619-639-4747. 619-639-4747. I just want your feedback. If you've heard something that may have edified you or maybe done something, you know, let me know. I do want to go down a couple of more of these this information, some stats, you know, that my guys over at Psych Central have kind of shared with us today, as we try to get a grasp and understanding some of this domestic violence stuff. Section is called History of Abuse, and I know these are just stats, guys, but you know, when you see things like children raised in families in which domestic violence was present are more likely to be the victim or perpetrators of domestic violence in adulthood. Men who have witnessed domestic violence between their parents are three times more likely to abuse their own wives than children of nonviolent parents. And I know many of you probably heard this, you know, for eons before, and maybe it's nothing new to you. But if you're going home tonight, now I want to talk to the ladies for a minute. If you're going home later on today after your business day is over, and you know for a fact you're going to be greeted with some mess. You're going to be greeted with some garbage. I would admonish you to, first and foremost, think that thing through. Know that you're not alone. And if you can, if it's impossible for you to remove yourself from that situation, then okay, that's fine. But perhaps a different perspective, or a bit different approach might be necessary. Understanding, of course, that you're not alone, and understanding even beyond that, that you can call the national hotline and get some help, talk to somebody. At the same time, if you really, really believe in your heart of hearts that that man, that young person, that boyfriend is not a bad seed, maybe he just makes bad decisions, then get him involved in the resolution process. Yeah, he's going to deny. Yeah, he doesn't think anything's wrong. You know, I saw an article recently where a guy was abusing his wife, and he actually convinced his 13-year-old son to videotape it. And, of course, because obviously they're not terribly wrapped, terribly tight, they posted this thing on the Internet. In so doing, someone sees it, someone contacts the proper authorities. And the judge, I want to believe it's largely because of the amount of arrogance associated with that much control. The judge took his liberties and sentenced that young man to 36 years in prison. In my life of study and research, there are people who've gone to prison for a murder that didn't get 36 years. 36 years for abuse, emotional and physical abuse. And I applaud the judge for having the moxie to do that. And his intention, obviously, because it was all over the news, was to send a message that behavior is not acceptable. That conduct is not going to be tolerated in our society. We're supposed to be a civilized group of grown folk, okay, that are supposed to be role models to our children. So I ask you today, have we done that? Have we truly done what we were supposed to do? Did we set our children up for success? There's also a video out there on the web right now. It's of a young man and his wife. Not just, it may say spanking their child. That wasn't spanking. I don't care what anyone says. I've got children. I've raised two boys that may not have been my seed, but I raised them as if they were mine. And my daughter now, of course, is 15, trying to get up on a little of dad's money in a few months for her sweet 16 party. But raising children, to me, is the greatest mission any parent can have in this lifetime. And it's not easy. And I've disciplined my kids and I've structured my kids. And there are people out there that will still say, "Oh, Vince, your kids are spoiled." Okay. All right, you're entitled to your perspective, you're entitled to your opinion. And I didn't believe in sparing the rod and spoiling the child, and then they know that there are lines they should not cross. But as I got a little older and I started watching the way our kids are today, and, you know, Bernie Mac used to refer to parents as, this is the Internet, so I'm not censored. He referred to them as punk-ass parents because you're afraid to put your hands on your kids, and you don't want to put your hands on your kids. You don't want someone else to put your hands on your kids. So what happens is no one disciplines him. No one structures him. No one does any type of restraint or structure or discipline in his life. And he grows up thinking that the world owes him something. And now you've got another problem on your hand. But I talked to a young man over the weekend, and he told me that he'd raised his children. And never one time did he ever feel a need to put his hands on his kids. And I kind of stepped back. And again, my parents are from Mississippi, so they're a little old school. They believe that you mark the lines in the sand and you adhere to those lines, and that's all there is to it. So anyway, this video that I was referring to comes out. And it's a young girl who apparently has done something wrong in terms of the use of the computer. So her dad's upset. He's loud. He tells the wife to go get the belt because he's about to whoop the child. I guess he doesn't know that the child has got a camera going on this whole thing. So dad comes in and he begins to spank the child. And as I watch this, and again, as one who's gotten a spanking years ago from my mom and dad for doing something completely inappropriate and completely, you know, against their wishes and their rules, I watched this, and I watched him not only physically abuse this girl, and again, we're not talking about taking an open hand and spanking a child in the butt one time. We're talking about this looked like it just got a little too good to him. This control, this power over this 16-year-old girl who violated whatever the house rule was. But he's hitting the girl. And he's hitting the girl. And he keeps on hitting the girl. You know, and when she won't comply by turning over, laying on her torso, he continues to hit the girl on her legs, on her hands. And then the mother comes in. The mother says, you will do as you're told, and that's all there is to it. And then she takes the belt from the dad, and then she begins to hit the child. And then she gives the belt back to dad, who comes back in and gets a couple of more licks in. At this point, you know, I'm numb. I'm livid. I'm upset. You know, and I'm watching this thing. Now, my parents may have, you know, at least from my old school upbringing, justifiably got in my back end on occasion, but nothing like this. Now, I understand that, you know, this video went viral and the right people got involved and, you know, the law came down. And even though the man went in front of a judge and basically lied to him saying, you know, what goes on to my house is my business and you don't have anything to say about that, the judge reminded him that anytime you've abused a child, it's bigger than your household, basically. The outcome obviously did not go well for that couple. And there are just so many better options in this world in terms of addressing these issues. There really are. And how many of us as young men or young women are actually going out here and trying to find resolutions? Day in, day out. If you're scared, let's come full circle here and just admit, I'm scared. You can call me, Vincent. You ain't got to give your name, nothing. 619-639-4747. You can call me and just tell me, I'm scared. You know, I'm in a situation. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to. I don't know who I can trust. I don't know who I can call. And I understand that, you know, this is an internet show. So anyone around the world, you know, maybe you're concerned that if I get on the internet and I give my name, he's going to hear it. I understand that. I understand. You know, part of our preparation for this was to make sure that when someone calls in, maybe we'll just say the prefix of the area code they're calling from. You know, we'll work that out. Either way it goes, this is for you. 619-639-4747. You know, today's broadcast is really about you. You know, I think you probably heard one commercial spot in the whole show, and you know, if I had my druthers, you know, we'll get to the notion of a primary sponsor on that. You know, I'm trying to avoid so many politically driven sponsorship with this show because that's not what this is about. This is about people. This isn't about some awareness program that's decided to make some decisions that are affecting other people and all of a sudden have been deemed a political organization. That's not what this is about. And so that's why you're not going to hear a commercial every 5 seconds or every 10 seconds. No. We celebrate the life of Whitney Houston on this show. Again, a troubled sister that went through a lot. She herself was not immune to domestic violence in her own marriage. I don't know how many of you have actually got a chance to read Bobby Brown's book that was written about the life him and Whitney had, but you know, even in the book, he puts a tremendous amount of responsibility back on her. You know, that she was a drug addict before they even got together, and that it just got progressively worse when they were together. And largely, he claims he was an enabler, and still contends to this day that the people around her were enablers up till obviously the untimely death this past weekend. If the death of someone close to you hasn't gotten your attention, I don't know what else can. I really don't. But we still must shed a light on this. And this Saturday, the 9 Pioneers in the Southland Healthcare Forum, Men Against Violence, will come back together again, and we'll have more information to share with the rest of the world. We'll start doing some outreach things at some point. We'll be in your local high schools. We'll hopefully be traveling around this wonderful country and reaching out to the men. And understand something. Our focus is on the men. Women do a wonderful job of coming together and supporting each other. Brothers, we are a little odd like that. It's kind of weird for us. And talking to some local pastors, that was the biggest contention across the board. How do we get the brothers to come to the table? Because that's who needs to come to the party. That's who needs to get the reality check that this type of behavior is no longer acceptable. And I appreciate, you know, Frank Ortega, commander in Cook County in the Sheriff's Department. I appreciate him wholeheartedly for his honesty and his heartfelt desire to touch, because that brother's been there. He's been there. He'll tell you point blank, this is what I did, and this is what I do now. From the love that he has for his first wife to the love he has for his new wife, the understanding he's established in all those different circles, all driven by him. And there was an old adage that once said, you know, when men stand up, boys will sit down. Well, brothers, it's time for us to step up in a real, tangible, visible way. We need to be the role models for our boys. We need to be the change agents for this cause. Women have done an awesome job doing what they can do. And they always say, they can't change a man. Well, Maybe they can't. Maybe it's time for the brothers to work on ourselves. Maybe it's time for us to look in the mirror. 619-639-4747. A few minutes left in this hour today. I want to again remind you that this is for you, okay? This is your opportunity for all the women that were invited to check out this presentation. If you didn't catch the live stream, replay it, because, again, this is for you. If we can just capture, as Whitney said in her song, one moment in time, we've done some good. And that's how we're going to wind this show up today. We're going to play One Moment in Time, about 5 minutes of your life. We'll probably go past the stream, and that's okay. Just know that I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Go ahead, Whitney. late, great Whitney Houston, One Moment in Time, winds it down. I want to thank each and every one of you for checking in, for nothing more than replaying this later on. Understanding, of course, ladies and gentlemen, that those of you involved in any type of domestic situation, you've got help. Feel free to call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. Again, 1-800-799-7233. We'll be back tomorrow, noon, right here, 619-639-4747. Put that in your phone. Again, 619-639-4747. Hit us up tomorrow. Let's talk about it. Have a great night. Love you.